On Monday's front page, the Allied airstrikes in Libya continued. It's not clear how much damage has been done, but the rebels pushed back into territory they lost last week. AT&T announced plans to buy T-Mobile in a $39 billion deal. That would make AT&T the largest cell phone company in the U.S. And the college, where a creative writing scholarship includes the dorm room where J.D. Salinger lived 13 years before he published The Catcher in the Rye. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Allied airstrikes in Libya intensified. Rebel forces regrouped as Allied warplanes destroyed government-armored vehicles near the rebel capital of Benghazi. Witnesses say the rebels moved back into territory they lost last week. They pushed 40 miles in the direction of Tripoli amid indications the Allies were striking more targets there. There was an explosion at Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's compound on Sunday night. That could mean the Allied forces struck his residence there or the barracks where his personal guards stay. Correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick says that earlier in the day, reporters had asked for a tour of places damaged in the airstrikes. Libyan authorities didn't arrange that.
They did take us to a funeral of civilians killed last night, but that again was a little bit of a puzzle. We were unable to find any immediate relatives of the people being buried. The people who were talking to us about who the deceased were and how they died were uncles, cousins, or said they were, and their stories didn't always match up. It's possible that a number of civilians were killed. Certainly when there are airstrikes of this magnitude, that's, if anything, likely. And it's also true that there was certainly a lot of anti-Western and pro-Gaddafi emotion present at this graveyard. We weren't really able to verify a single civilian death. I should say also, an Indonesian television crew that's reporting here was able last night to get out to two hospitals in the city, and they said that they saw no casualties, empty beds, and empty ambulances.
That's Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick in Tripoli. As for whether the military was targeting Gaddafi, Vice Admiral William Gortney told a Washington news conference the U.S. was not looking to kill the Libyan leader. He said the goal was to weaken Gaddafi militarily. But Times reporters Helene Cooper and David E. Sanger say there is a risk that Gaddafi may not be dislodged by air power alone. That leaves the question of whether the Allies are committing enough resources to win the battle. AT&T is buying T-Mobile from Deutsche Telekom. The $39 billion deal will create the largest cell phone carrier in the country. It's expected to come in for tough scrutiny from regulators. Critics say the merger will mean higher prices. T-Mobile offered some of the lowest rates around, keeping pressure on competitors. AT&T's customers could get better service. T-Mobile and AT&T operate on the same GSM technology, so the combination should provide better coverage. That's been a sore point for AT&T. It's had problems with dropped calls and slow data service on the Apple iPhone. Monday's Times says the recovery in this country could be slowed in the wake of the earthquake in Japan and the unrest in places like Egypt and Libya. Unemployment and trade figures for March will tell the story, but some experts say the situation in Japan reinforces all the negative repercussions of the weak recovery in this country. Goldman Sachs said on Friday that global uncertainty might shave a half point off American gross domestic product for 2011. Even so, Goldman's economists say that wouldn't be enough to push the U.S. back into recession. At Japan's crippled Fukushima nuclear plant, workers made progress in stabilizing the situation over the weekend, but the Japanese government said there were new signs of radioactive contamination in produce and livestock from the area. Also on Monday's front page, the owners of the New York Mets filed their answer to that lawsuit by the trustee for victims of the Bernard Madoff Ponzi scheme. The Mets owners say trustee Irving Picard ignored or misrepresented important evidence. They also say he withheld evidence that would have helped their case. They say that in all the years they invested with Madoff, they never had reason to suspect he was running a fraud. J.D. Salinger attended Ursinus College in Pennsylvania for one semester in 1938. 5 years ago, Ursinus set up an annual Salinger Scholarship in Creative Writing. It came with $30,000 and his old dorm room for 1 year. Salinger's representatives demanded that his name be removed. The college did that, but it didn't change the part about his old room. Callie Ingram lived there 2 years ago. She's now a junior. She says The Catcher in the Rye is a good book, but not pivotal. She still hasn't opened her copy of Franny and Zoe. Inside Monday's Times, it's been 12 years since MIT acknowledged discriminating against women faculty members. Now, a study shows there's been progress since then, but some women professors say there's also a sense they have an unfair advantage. Voters in Egypt approved the referendum on constitutional changes. That will mean elections, and soon. Times reporter Neil McFarquhar says the results pointed to the strength of established political organizations, particularly the Muslim Brotherhood. Legislative elections could be held as early as June. A vote on a new president could follow in August. Haiti voted for its new president. The results aren't in, but the voting was smoother than the first round in November. Back then, there was chaos and confusion, not to mention 19 candidates on the ballot. This time, there were only two, bawdy carnival singer Michel Martelly and former First Lady Mirlande Manigat. The country's been on the edge over the arrival of former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. He returned last week after 7 years in exile in South Africa. That left many Haitians wondering whether his supporters would sit out the election and hold down the turnout. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.